Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. Okay, this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode number 93. It is the week of March 26th, 2010, and this is the Shamrock Marathon race report episode. I'm very excited to talk about Shamrock. I had a great time running that marathon this past weekend. It was my 12th marathon, and probably definitely the most fun I've ever had running 26.2 miles, if that is possible to have fun running 26.2 miles. It was a great experience. I was able to run with several friends that I had trained with in Ashland, and our goal was to our main goal was just to get two first-timers to finish. We had aimed for 4 hours, 45 minutes. We knew we would do some walking here and there, and our pace was not going to be really, really fast. And we just missed that goal by a little bit, but we still came inside 5 hours, and I'll talk a little bit about that, I guess, towards the end. But the best part about this marathon for me personally was that I had no trouble at all for the distance. I didn't hit a wall or anything like that. I was very, very fortunate that I didn't, because we had some people in our group that did have some minor difficulties. You know, your first time running a marathon, you're gonna get to that strange place after mile 20, which is a place you've never been before, and you're not really sure how to handle it. But we kind of had a group synergy down in Virginia Beach, which is where the Shamrock Marathon is, Virginia Beach, Virginia. We all started together, we all finished together, with the exception of one person in our group who can run a lot faster, and I'll talk about him here in a few minutes. But it was, it's not really going to be a report about me. It's more about the people that I ran with, and namely Bob and Merriweather. It was their first marathon. We had some other people that joined us, but really the race was about them and being a part of their first marathon experience. You know, if you've run a marathon, you know, if you're listening to the show and you are a marathoner, can you think back to your first marathon and what kind of experience you had, and if it was a good one or whatever. You always remember that first marathon. If you go on to run additional ones, you always remember your first. And I kind of, in a way, got to relive my first marathon experience all over again with Bob and Merriweather. Figuratively speaking, of course, because I did not have the same trouble I did when I ran my first marathon, which was kind of being reduced to rubble. But anyway, we trained, all trained together. It was five of us that trained. I had mentioned that in previous shows. Brian, Bob, Merriweather, me, and Rodney. Now, Rodney was actually running his second marathon. He ran his first marathon when he was 12 years old. And now I think he's 38, and he was kind of like a freak runner kid when he was young, and he ran his first marathon when he was 12 in the state of Arkansas. So he ran ahead of us, and he finished. I think he was going to try to make a Boston qualifying time, but he really just missed it. Came in at 3:37. Well, he missed it by a few minutes, and he had some trouble during the race, because I think, as he was by himself most of the time. But he just runs a lot faster than the rest of our group, so that it really didn't make any sense for him just to hang back with us. But I think at one point, because my wife was talking to him after the race, he said that he had even thought about just stopping and waiting for the rest of the group to catch up to him, and then he was going to go on after that, which would have been really interesting if we had seen him standing on the side of the road waiting for us. That would have been quite a sight. But anyway, somehow, let me just kind of give a little history on how I kind of got talked into joining this group. Bob has recovered from, I think, three separate surgeries. He had a knee problem. I think he broke his kneecap a couple years ago. and he had some lower leg issues that had to be taken care of with surgery. And but we were friends even before he was a runner, and we have daughters around the same age, so we kind of became running friends. And then unfortunately he got injured and had to kind of stop for a little while, but he always kept coming back. And we've run some half marathons together, most notably the Outer Banks half last fall. We ran the whole race together and just had a great time. I think I did a podcast on that last fall. But at some point, he had determined that he was healthy enough to make his comeback and attempt a marathon. And I'm not really sure when or how that happened, but he had shared with me that he would like to for me to run with him. And I'm not really sure. I can't remember that whole conversation, but I do remember thinking that that might conflict with plans I had to try my first 50-miler this March of this year. I had picked out a race in Mississippi called the Mississippi Trail 50, which is billed as being a great first 50-miler, if there's any such thing as being a great first 50-miler. And I had actually started looking into transportation and how I'd get down there and contacting family members that I have down in Mississippi to get assistance in the race, just to kind of, I put some feelers out just to kind of see, you know, how it all go, and I take my whole family and all that kind of stuff. But when Bob said that he was serious about running Shamrock and training for it, I thought that was a good cause to really put my personal goal aside and try to help him. And it was kind of contagious, because we recruited Brian, who is a marathon veteran. He's run, I think, three or four, and he's a good fast runner too. And then we also recruited Rodney, who he moved to Ashland a couple years ago. He works over at the college. And then Meriwether, we got her in our group because she had trained to run Richmond last year, the Richmond Marathon, with her group. But she had got injured, so she had to kind of wait on that race. And then we picked her up, or she picked us up, and a new group was formed in Ashland. And we never really came up with a team name, and I know I've talked about this before. We kind of finally settled on Team Doom, D-O-O-M. I'm not even sure how that was, but we never really did anything official with it. But we all met on Saturday mornings. The long runs, you know, they started stretching out. There was a lot of, you know, bantering on emails during the week, taunting. It really became fun, and a kind of a group loyalty formed, which became, it kind of turned into something special. And you know, it really did appear that we were all going to all do this thing. And so for me personally, a finishing time that I wanted kind of became a secondary goal. I was not as interested as I have with previous marathons on getting inside that 4.5 hours, which is just something that I want to do when I run a marathon. But the goal for this marathon was not me. It wasn't my finishing time. It was to get Bob to finish and get Meriwether to finish, and hopefully be strong in the process where I was not a liability to anybody. So there was a little bit, there was no pressure to get a good finishing time, but there was a lot of pressure to stay strong and stay focused and not become the one that everybody has to worry about. So Meriwether joined us, or like I said, we joined her. She had recovered from her knee injury as well. She had surgery, and a group was formed, and I don't even remember when our first group run was at all. I think we just kind of jumped into it. Then we got up to the double digits, and we were just running on Saturday mornings together. We weren't doing any of the midweek stuff together. Here and there, some people would join up. I kind of traditionally do my midweek runs by myself because it's my way to wind down after work. But on the weekends, I was, you know, I really did desire that group mentality and the group. And it was a fun group. It was, you know, we're all married and we all have kids. And some of the kids, you know, are playmates. We have kids different ages. Kids are involved in different activities. It was really never a dull moment on any of the group runs. So we followed a beginner program, and which was appropriate. And I came up with some of the routes on the weekend when it got to the real long runs. It became a little more difficult because we had to kind of get out of town a little bit, and But it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of support from people in the community, some of our other runner friends that would set up their cars with water and Gatorade. And we had had a lot of snow around here, and I'll talk about running in the snow here in a minute. But one of the ladies that was one of our support people named Tammy, who's also the race director for the Ashland Railroad Run 10K, which is coming up on April 10th, she actually had a full spread in the back of her car in a sled. And it was, she had everything, candy, fruit, just a whole buffet of, I think we spent about 10, this was during, I think, the 20 mile, we probably spent about 10 minutes hanging around the car. And that's the danger of when you have someone who is so giving and is willing to come out and set up, aid for you. You tend to stick around and want to talk and take a break. But anyways, really nice that she did that. I don't think she listens to the podcast, but I've been working with her a lot on the railroad run, so that I'll talk about that towards the end of the show. So if nothing else, I thought it would be a lot of fun to run a marathon with a group of people. We had kind of talked that we were all going to run together. We did the long runs with the 8 and 2 interval program, which is run 8, walk 2. But that 2 minutes is not a lollygag type of walk. It's walking with a purpose. And we did that for all the, the double-digit runs that we were able to do together. There were some hiccups along the way where not everybody could get together. Matter of fact, I don't think we did a 14 or a 15-miler together. I think that got kind of split up. But we did stick with the 8 and 2, and I had told Bob ahead of time that was the way to go for your first-time marathon, because you're going to end up walking towards the end anyway, because it's really hard to maintain to run the whole time. You're going to walk through water stops or do whatever. But I was a little worried that Brian and Meriwether might not want to do that, but they did. They didn't mind at all, so that's really what we did. And we did that on marathon day to great success as well. And I'll talk about that also towards the end of the report here. But the training was pretty uneventful. We didn't have any real trouble, except for a 17 miler that we ran in the blizzard. We had, well, not a literal blizzard, but it was blizzard-like conditions here in Ashland. And I remember we took some pictures that day. That was pretty unbelievable. There was probably 3 inches of snow. It had already fallen on the ground, and of course snowflakes were flying sideways. And several of us did the full 17 miles that day. A couple people had to branch off because they had to get home or do something else. So marathon day was a high of around 75 degrees, but here we were running in 30 degrees, and that was most of our training was in the cold. And so we were totally unprepared for race day with the heat. Our goal was mainly to finish the race. But we had kind of said that, Bob and I had kind of said that 5 hours was definitely going to be something that we were going to break. And I was kind of thinking to myself, that should be easy, right? It should be easy to cover it in 5 hours. But there's really nothing about covering a marathon that's easy, no matter how you slice it. You still have to cover the distance one way or the other. You have to do it mostly by running. We didn't do any hill training. The Shamrock course is flat. There's just a couple, you have to go over a bridge twice, but that's really no big deal. And we didn't do any hill training. We really leaned on each other a lot on those long runs. We did fine. The 8 and 2 was very advantageous. Just knowing, especially for first-timers, knowing that you have you can release the tension in those muscles for 2 minutes about every 10 minutes, every 8 minutes, is a major mental relief. And because you don't have to keep those muscles flexed or running. You get a break, and you can save some of the endurance for the end. And it worked out really good during training. We had a great 20-miler group run. It really was. Matter of fact, my 18-miler was not that good for me. Just with some difficulty and not being in the right place mentally. But I had a great 20-miler, probably one of the best ones I've ever had. And I've run a lot of 20-milers now. And of course, we had gotten some better weather. We never really ran in any pouring rain, but it was just that snow. I think we ran in a couple snowstorms, come to think of it. But we only did one 20 miler. We did a couple. We did a 17 and an 18 with some recovery weeks. I just didn't see the point in doing another 20 miler if we weren't really going for a specific time. I would debate whether doing another 20 miler would even have changed things much anyway. So we finally get to race day, which was March 21st of 2010, and we got to the start about an hour early, and we walked down to the beach. And the race starts a block off of the Atlantic Ocean, right off a block off the beach, and then finishes on the boardwalk right on the beach, which is really cool. We had no trouble with logistics. We had several people in our party doing the half marathon, which started at 7 a.m. The half marathon started at 7. The full marathon was at 8. And my wife had gotten up to, she traveled, she didn't do any of the races because she's recovering from an injury and getting ready to do a triathlon. But the logistics just were perfect. There was no problems at all. We got dropped off. We had so much time before the race started. It was very relaxing to go down and sit along the boardwalk and just mingle around with other runners. And I ran into Dr. Smitty. And the funny thing was he and I had talked earlier about meeting up, and he was really busy with some family stuff going on, so we didn't get a chance to meet up. But we had planned to meet up race morning, and he said he's gonna be wearing an orange headband, skull cap. So I was looking for that, and I just dropped off my bag at the you know, where you put your bag and then you pick it up after the race, the dry bag or something. And Harry walked up to me, and he did not have his orange cap on. He was going to retrieve it, so I could find him. So it was kind of funny. So we got a chance to talk some, and he was going to just go out and really try to kill and go for a Boston qualifying time. Unfortunately, he didn't make it for this race, but he definitely will at some point. I have no doubt about that. He's a very talented runner. He's a 3 hour, just over 3 hour marathoner. I mean, that is very fast. But anyways, great to see him. We had hoped to meet up at the expo, but things just didn't work out. But we had plenty of time. We chatted for a bit, and then my group, we went down to the beach, just kind of relaxed a little bit. Everybody got ready, and I could tell it was going to be warm, and it was already starting to warm up a little bit. And so finally the race started. It was, you know, real exciting. First half of the race went fine. We crossed the half marathon mark at 2:15, and things were looking really good, having lots of fun. I saw lots of people that I knew, and let me back up a minute. At the expo, I saw Heather from Chesapeake, which was really cool. She's a listener to the show, and I think the reason I recognized her is because I had to do a little internet stalking to figure out what she looked like, and I did find a picture of her in a race somewhere. I think that's how I did it. And so when I saw her and there was a picture with her husband too, so I actually recognized him. He, of course, he didn't know who I was. And when she actually turned around and said, "Are you Ashlyn Dave?" I said, "Are you Heather?" And the look on his face was kind of weird. "Heather, I don't know if you're," and she's like, "Eh, you know," I can't remember what her husband's name was. "Oh, this is Ashlyn Dave. He has a podcast." And he just kind of looked at me like I was crazy. It was really cool to meet you, Heather. And cool thing about Heather, I saw her during the marathon too. After, I think it was around 22 miles, Heather, was it? 21? It was when we were still in Fort Story. Anyway, it's great to see her, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. So half marathon was no trouble at all. Things were looking really good. I saw several people I knew during the race. Saw Will from Ashlyn. Saw the people that I recognized, and I was really just talking to anybody that wanted to talk to me. I was having a great time. I really was. I just felt it was like a very powerful, laid-back marathon for me. There was no pressure for the finishing time. I was hydrated. I was fueled. I was having fun with my friends, and it was going to be exciting to see people finish their first marathon and be right alongside them. And I just had a great time. Can't really say much more about that. It was just a great day for me personally, and of course we did. Everybody did finish, but it did get really hot, very hot, and we had to dial it back a little bit, and we had some hydration issues in our group. We needed to get some more water in some of the runners, And the cool thing about that, when we were able to slow down a little bit, is that Tom Grant, who listens to the show and is one of my running partners here with some of these ultras that I've done. Matter of fact, all the ultras I've done, Tom's done the same ones. And I've talked about him before on the show. He actually caught up to us. Tom ran the half marathon earlier in the morning with his wife. And then I guess took a little bit of a break and was waiting for us around the half marathon mark. But somehow we ran right past him without him seeing us. And it took him several miles to catch up to us. And he finally did. So then we had another person in our group. So then we were running with We were running with five people. And it was great to have him up there. And but anyway, we got Bob had a little bit of a, I think he got goosebumps on his arms at one point. And so I said, dude, you need to drink some more water. And I knew that I needed to drink some more water, too. I mean, I was just really sweating, but you know, having a good time and feeling pretty good. But it was nice to definitely have these two-minute walk breaks in there. There's just no, I just can't say enough about what that does for your mentality. So it was pretty cool after we got after the 20-mile mark. It was new territory for Bob and Meriwether. Meriwether hit a wall as well. But never gave up, and I think Brian had, from what I understand after the race, Brian had kind of hit his own personal wall inside his mind, but he didn't really, he just kind of broke through it, and so he could be strong for the other runners that were, that needed, you know, needed us there to kind of get him through. And earlier in the race, I had told our group that we would be passing people at the end that were doing their death march. I mean, that was, I've just seen that already before with the interval runs that I do. And I assured them that we would see plenty of people and pass plenty, and we did. We passed lots of people who were just doing that death march with their head down, probably wondering why they did it in the first place. And we just kept on going. But we did have to change our intervals to 4 and 1. Towards the end, because it was just getting so hot, and that was just kind of a group consensus, and we did some 4 and 1, and I think we did some 5 and 5, maybe two of those, and then we went back to the 4 and 1. And then once we got to, I think, 24 and a half, right before the 25-mile mark, there was just a straight run to the finish, and then making that cut onto the boardwalk. What you do is you're running south, and then you make that cut to the east and go over a block to the boardwalk. The finish line was a lot farther than I had remembered. I had not run this marathon before. I'd done the half, and the second half of the marathon course is the half marathon course, so the finish line is the same. And I did not remember the finish line being so far down the boardwalk. It was a lot farther than I had remembered, and of course, Bob and Meriwether at that point just totally picked up the pace for the adrenaline that kicked in, and family members started running alongside of us. And, man, right into a real heavy headwind. And I was thinking, man, I can't keep up with these people. But I finally did, and we all came in at 4:55:32. I came in at 4:55:34. And couldn't have been happier. I was so glad it was over, especially for that mad dash at the end. I just didn't think I was going to be able to keep up. But the coolest thing that happened to me right there at the end is I actually got my name called on the loudspeaker, and he pronounced my last name right. I've got a tough last name to pronounce, even though it's only one syllable. And, man, that was cool. I kind of wish I had had my digital recorder to capture that moment so I could put that in the podcast. But I already was already carrying a cell phone and my small Canon camera. And I just, I already had enough electronics with me. There was no need to carry something else. But that was kind of vindication, because the last time I crossed that finish line, which was in 2007, March of 2007, my chip didn't work. And that was the first time I had broken 2 hours in the half marathon, according to my Garmin, and my chip did not work. And I had to protest, and they got me, they ended up giving me an official finishing time, which was what was on the clock when I crossed, because my picture was taken. And that was 2 hours and I want to say 16 seconds or something, or 2:01:16. So I didn't get the official under 2 hours, which I ended up doing at, I want to say Outer Banks a couple years later, but I don't really remember where I officially broke 2 hours, because I know that I did it at Shamrock for the first time. So it was kind of cool to get my name called, and that was just really neat. I've never had that happen to me before. Usually the names are of other people next to me are the ones that are being called, because they probably skip over my name, my last name, and just pick an easier one because mine's hard to pronounce. So Shamrock was my best and my slowest marathon. It was my best because I had the most energy before, during, and after the marathon than I ever have in any of the other marathons I've run. But it was my slowest because of the official finishing time, and that's really of no consequence because I was committed to running to support two first-timers, and that's important. There's nothing better in running, in distance running, than seeing somebody accomplish a goal and being right there next to them when they do it, and being part of the journey that gets them there. The journey to finishing a marathon is not on race day. It's really all the training miles that you put in, and the times you get home from work and you don't feel like doing the training, but you got to do it. You can't, you know, because you skipped a couple days before, so you got to, you know, do the Thursday run because you skipped your Tuesday run. But the one thing I remember reading from Galloway's book on marathoning, can't remember the title of it because he's written a few. But Bob, you still have that book, so I need that back when you get a chance if you listen to the show. Was Galloway said that he had, doing the 8 and 2 or the other type of intervals, he said he had the same rewarding and feeling of accomplishment from finishing a marathon with the slower time that he had with his faster times. And the big difference was that he was able to function later in the day and the next day, and his recovery was not as difficult. And I found that to be true as well. I had a extremely satisfying feeling finishing that race, and it had nothing to do with the finishing time. It was the people that I ran with and the experience I had doing that. And I just, in a way, like, I'm getting ready to train for Charlottesville, which is April 17th, the week after the railroad run. And I'm already kind of disappointed that I might be running by myself. I mean, I know Brian's going to run it because he's already signed up. And I know some people that are running the half. And I think he might be bringing a lady that he used to train with that ran Disney named Joe. I don't know. I'm really disappointed already that I might be running that by myself. Because I'm going to try to go for a better finish time. We'll see how the training goes. I've only got a few weeks to. I got to get another long run in between. But anyway, I got my hats off to Tom Grant, Brian, you guys that came out and helped everybody and helped me, and hopefully we helped you and everybody. It was a great time. It really was. And Heather, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to talk to you more during the 22 to 23 mile. I think I lost you at one of the water stops. I just didn't, I don't blame you for, I can't remember what we were doing. But anyway, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to talk to you more, but I'm so glad I ran into you twice in the same weekend. I mean, what are the chances of that with, the 10,000 plus people that are down there? So anyway, that was Shamrock was a great experience. I think it probably ranks as my best marathon ever with the experience. And Bob and Meriwether, I couldn't be happier for you. Now you can, if you run another one, now you can work on your finishing time if that's what you want to keep on doing. And I had my camera, so I was able to get lots of video clips and pictures of everybody. So, and I've compiled that together, and I'll be presenting that to them during a little party we're gonna have this weekend for the everybody that ran. We like to have parties in Ashland for whenever anybody does anything. So all right, well, that's the Shamrock Marathon race report. Man, that's practically 30 minutes of nonstop talking on my part. I do plan to run the Charlottesville Marathon. Like I said, that's in Charlottesville, Virginia. If you're not from Virginia, that's where the University of Virginia is, and it's a hilly course. Very scenic. It's kind of the Shenandoah Valley area, which is a beautiful part of Virginia. And I ran it last year, so I'll be repeating it. And I think I ran 4:26 or 4:24. So I'm going to try to match or better that time. I don't think I have a chance with a hilly course like that on breaking 4:17, which is my PR. And I'm really not going to worry about that much. I really just want to have fun and enjoy it and use that long distance as a good long training run, which I'll be doing to get ready for the North Face Endurance race, which is the 50 miler I've signed up for on June 5th. And I will talk more about that probably in the next podcast. Okay, well, we got some listener email and comments on the website, so let's transition into that and see what everybody had to say. All right, let's take a look at the emails. And Ryan of Team Incognito posted on the site. I guess I got to moderate that one and approve it. Anyway, Ryan... Ryan mentioned has bought some Vibrams, the Vibram Five Fingers, and he is going to kind of get used to them by walking in them for 45 minutes and then slowly introducing the running, and he's going to incrementally add short walking in the Five Fingers to his regular running. So that's pretty cool. And Ryan, you had asked about that comparison chart that one of the other listeners named Mike had sent me. Unfortunately, I cannot find that. I remember I saved it to a file somewhere, and I even went back and looked in all my deleted and sent emails to see if it was still attached from Mike. And I can't remember Mike's last name. So, Mike, if you're listening and you're the one that sent me that attachment, I did read it and I saved it, but I don't know where I saved it, and I haven't found it yet, and I can't remember that. If you can tell me the name of the file, then I can search for it. I was searching for some different names. So, Ryan, I'm not able to send that to you, and I'm really sorry. I was checking on the Vibram website, but they didn't have that same document. Sounds like you're going to try something new, and my hat's off to you, Ryan. Ryan likes to do the Krispy Kreme Challenge, and he's run a couple marathons, and he's run up in Canada and run... He's run, I think, a naked race at one point in time, so... Anyway, so I'm not surprised to hear that Ryan's going to try the Five Fingers. So anyway, Ryan, thanks for checking in. It's good to hear from you. And it's been forever since I've seen you, so hopefully we'll run into each other soon. I heard from David. David is out of Mechanicsville, Virginia, and I actually trained with him for one of the Patrick Henry half marathon teams year before last, I think. He's a pretty fast runner, military veteran, and he ran Shamrock. I didn't see him down there, probably because he ran 4:31, and we ran much slower. He's going to be running the Kentucky Derby Marathon on April 24th, and I'll have to look that one up. I haven't checked out that website. Dave said he had a pretty good marathon. He struggled a little bit in the last 6 miles. His left ankle started to hurt, and he'd never had that problem before. And I also had some cramping after the race. So, David, hopefully you've recovered, and I do look forward to seeing you up at the Ashland Railroad Run. It looks like you'll be making that, so make sure if you see me, you come over to me, and I'll make sure I check in with you. I'm going to be a little busy that morning, but I'll definitely be good to see you, and hopefully we can run a few miles together at some point in time. I really appreciate the email, and I had forgotten that you were listening to the show. I should have... I'll have to tailor some more stuff to Mechanicsville. Well, David doesn't really live in Mechanicsville. He's kind of in between Mechanicsville and Ashland, part of Hanover County. Anyway, and he's also a volunteer rescue squad. I'm a volunteer EMT. So, David, appreciate the email, and thanks for listening to the show. I heard from Alan up at the Running with the Pack podcast. And Alan, appreciate all the good thoughts you sent our way. We had a great day. I appreciate the email and the sentiment. And Alan is going to be running Chicago this year, Disney, and New York next year. But he's thinking about doing the National Marathon or the Marine Corps Marathon in D.C. in 2012. And because he wants to do some major races and then meet some fellow podcasters. And Alan, I agree. Perhaps we can look ahead. You know, I've never run the National or the Marine Corps Marathon. And maybe I should consider doing that in 2012. Or even 2011, or 2012, if that's what you're going to do. I'll see if I'm still on the marathon high at that point in time. But I appreciate you checking in, and make sure you check out Alan's podcast at parkthoughts.com. It's called Running with the Pack, and it's a great podcast. He talks about lots of different things, not just running. He's also a triathlete, and he looks at books and movies, anything having to do with fitness and exercise. Alan is usually all over. And he's got a great show, so make sure you check that out at parkthoughts.com. I heard from Sharon, she's from Caroline County, which is just north of Hanover, and she is. They were down at the Shamrock. Sharon, I'm sorry I missed you. I did not see you down there. And Sharon is, I think her husband ran Richmond. He was running the Shamrock Full, and then she ran the 8K down at the Shamrock. They had an 8K on Saturday morning, the kids' races, and then the half and the four on Sunday. And she was wondering if there was room for another person on our Saturday runs down Ashland. And I say, Sharon, definitely. We definitely have plenty of room. Although we've kind of stopped them right now because we don't have a group together anymore after Shamrock. I don't know what the future of Team Doom is, if it's just going to be a virtual group or people are going to still want to run. I guess tomorrow, I'm recording this podcast on the 26th, so tomorrow the 27th, I guess, would be the first Saturday that we would have not have run together, and nobody's really sent out any emails wanting to do any runs. So anyway, stay in touch, and once we get a group going again, certainly we'll extend the invitation, especially cause since you live just up the road, just north of King's Dominion, which is a big theme park here in Hanover. Sounds like your husband's recovering from an IT ban, but yeah, stay in touch, and we'll always the more the better. Let's see, the last one was from Heather. This is Heather from Chesapeake, and she ran an incredible 4:48 at Shamrock. I think it was her second or third marathon. Heather, I know you did Richmond. Did you do another one? For some reason, I'm thinking you did Outer Banks. I'm not sure why. Anyways, great to see you down there, and great to meet you. And I'm sure our paths will cross again. Thank you so much for listening to the show and with your positive emails. It's always nice to get those positive emails from people that are out there listening to the show and training. Well, that's it for this week. We've got a special 8-minute audio clip here at the end of the show that the introduction will speak for itself. It's something that Kevin had sent in and is asked to include in the show. So I'm going to put it in this week, see how that goes over. And then, of course, I'll put the Ashland Railroad commercial in there, and then we'll end with the Star-Spangled Banner. Anyway, thanks for listening to the show. And this is Ashland Dave in Ashland, Virginia, the center of the universe, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Y'all have a good week.
Probably threw you for a loop with that music, didn't I? This is Kevin from the Extra Mile Podcast. And the reason why, if you listen to the Extra Mile, the music you're hearing did not remind you of the Extra Mile Podcast, it's because I want to talk to you today about something that's a little different than the Extra Mile Podcast. But first, I'd like to thank the producers of the podcast you are now listening to for giving me a couple of minutes of their valuable podcast time. And just as importantly, thanks to you for giving me a couple of minutes of this current run you're probably out on right now. In a couple of weeks, somewhere on or about April the 1st of 2010, I will begin a project that I am calling the Extra Mile Podcast Experiment. Let me explain. Since you no doubt are listening right now to a running podcast, I'm going to assume you are in one of two categories. Either you want to run a marathon, or you have run one in the past. And either way, you are my target audience. Me, I fall in the category of having run a marathon in the past. But honestly, it's been 15 years. And I, for the last 15 years, have felt the marathon bug biting me. But I have not run one for several reasons. First of all, I just don't have time to run 6 or 7 days a week, putting in 50 miles a week. in order to feel comfortable that I can finish a marathon. In addition, I know this is hard to believe, but I actually have a life outside of this, and I cannot spend the entire weekend laying around on the couch trying to recover from a long run. And lastly, my body simply will not allow me to put in the rigors of huge distances and speed work without becoming injured. I know this because I do a lot less than my former marathon training right now, and I've had a decent amount of injuries over the past few years. But like I said, I still want very badly to run another marathon. I honestly believe somewhere out there is a marathon training program that will allow me to overcome every objection I have to having not run a marathon in the last 15 years. And furthermore, I think there's one out there that would allow you to do the same. Hence, the Extra Mile Podcast experiment. Having grown tired of that marathon bug biting me in the rear end for the last 15 years, and honestly, for some reason, biting me a lot harder recently, I started looking around for a marathon program that would do that. Allow me to run a marathon on minimal miles, not put me on the couch all weekend, keep me injury free, and maybe most importantly, finish a marathon with a smile on my face. And I have decided that that training program does exist, and it's called the Jeff Galloway Run, Walk, Run Method. So, here's what the Extra Mile Podcast Experiment does in a very organized way. I basically have three phases. The first phase is what I'm calling the discovery period. Now, I'm not an attorney, but I did play one in my last divorce. This discovery period will be a period of about 2 months where we will delve into the details of the Galloway method, look at all the good and the bad points of the training. And who better to tell us about that program than the one and only Jeff Galloway? Yeah, that's the exciting part. I'll be interviewing Jeff very shortly and getting the lowdown on this. Talk about some objections and exactly what this program is meant to do. I'll also be talking with several people who either currently use or have used the Galloway Run, Walk, Run method. And we'll talk to them about their views, what they like, what they didn't like, and also, maybe more importantly, the results they got. Now, after we delve into that, I will be asking you if you, in fact, swallow the Kool-Aid and believe that this program can indeed overcome all of your objections to make a commitment and run a fall marathon with me using the Galloway Run, Walk, Run method. We will train together. We will talk about it during the Extra Mile Podcast experiment. I will ask for your submissions and questions about the program. And who better to answer all of your questions than Mr. Galloway himself? Yes, here comes some more excitement. Jeff has agreed to be my personal e-trainer. He will be training me for this marathon. He has already laid out a plan for me, and we have spoken a few times about it. And he has agreed to come back on the show periodically to discuss my progress, or lack of progress, and answer questions that either I have based on my training, or you have based on yours. So there you have it. the Extra Mile Podcast Experiment, something that I hope you can get excited about. So please follow along at theextramilepodcast.com. Help us decide if this plan is a plan that will help you either run your first marathon or run your next one at least. And make a commitment with me. Check us out at theextramilepodcast.com and enjoy your extra mile.
The 2010 Ashland Railroad Run.
Join us on Saturday, April 10th, for the 32nd running of one of Virginia's oldest road races along the tracks and through the historic town of Ashland, Virginia, the center of the universe.
This race is one of Virginia's first eco-friendly races and the area's longest running 10K race. This year's race features a new flat and faster course, which is great for setting a PR.
This event also features some of the best and most unique door prizes of any race around the Richmond, Virginia area.
Be sure to come to the center of the universe on April 10th to race.
For more information, go to www.hanoverarts.org and click under News and Happening.
I ran the kids' race last year, and it was fun.
Run Ashland first. See you there.
I like that.
That's awesome.